You've found the Fabric Podcast and our conversation, Seven Wonders. This episode was captured live at the Minnehaha Falls Bandstand in Minneapolis, where Chris Lillehei shared his thoughts about the wonder of family.
I'm Chris. I'm part of the Fabric community. And we've been talking about kind of the wonders of the world. So they're the Greek wonders of the world, the ancient seven wonders of the world. And instead, we're talking about here during this series of kind of the emotional wonders of this world, the amazement of what is around us. And so the first week, we talked about the presence with one another. The second week, we talked about the wonder of laughter. And today, we're talking about the wonder of family. And now I think about family kind of in three different ways. The first is the family that we grew up in, so the family that we were born into or grew up in. The second is the family that some of us create. And the third is create kind of biologically. And the third is the family that is around us, the wonder that is the relationships that are beside us and next to us. I think it's really important to start off, before we get too far along, to mention that family is a complicated word for some of us. That for some of us, it brings up a lot of hurts and hardships and pain. And I think that's really important. And I promise at some point we will get back to that. But I will say that we're going to set that aside for today and talk about the wonder that is this thing called family. This thing called the people around us. Well, in fact, this is my family right here. So these are my girls, Chloe and Carter. I think they were set up, but I'm not sure. So as I was kind of wandering through this message and kind of creating it, I started to realize that there's really not much language for this family that we create, for the people around us that we really want to buy into their lives and have them buy into ours. We use substitute language, like they're my kid's aunt and uncle, or we use language of kind of they're like family. But we really don't have anything that solidifies what that relationship is. So I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to some of this religious stuff. And so one of the things that stuck out to me was the Greek word, koinonia. Koinonia is often translated in the New Testament as fellowship, but I don't know about you, but that word fellowship kind of rings hollow for me a lot of the times. It seems very churchy and polite and pleasant. And what this word is really pointing towards is that dynamic of love and trust and community and depth. The type of people that you don't even clean your house when they come over because they're just your people. They're the type of the people that when all else falls away, they're the ones that come to you. In Fabric, we do baptisms. And I think one of the most beautiful things about our baptisms is when we describe what the role of the sponsor in our community is. And I think we do a really good job of saying that role is not to say that you have life perfectly figured out or all of the answers to all of the spiritual questions, but it's actually the opposite. It's the idea that I'm going to share with all of you, with this little one, all of my hurts and hang-ups, all the ways that I have doubted and that I've gotten it wrong, all the ways that I've screwed up and still am loved. And I just love that about our community, that it's not about putting on a face to attract other people, but being real and deep with one another. This particularly happens kind of in our youth. I want you to think for just a second. Use your imagination, okay? Maybe close your eyes. I want you to think about that one person in your life, particularly in your youth, that's not part of your biological not part of your nuclear family, that really invested in you as an individual, that cared about you as a person, that loved on you, that inspired you to be something different. What comes up for you inside as you think about this person? For me, it's Coach Cawthorn. He was my football coach in high school. This was a very large man. I mean, 350 pounds. And I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts. And so when Coach Cawthorn would yell at you, it would be the only time you'd slip into a Boston accent. What do you think you're doing? But this is the man that made me the man I am today. The man that inspired me to be better, to persevere when life gets hard. It inspired me that I could lead other people. It inspired me that no matter what the differences are in life, that you can come together for a common cause. I haven't talked to Coach Cawthorn since I was about 18 years old for any meaningful length of time. And yet, almost on a weekly basis, I'll reflect on the ways that he has changed me as an individual. I want to take a moment here to just kind of do a slight aside. I don't know if you all have been following the news lately, but a professional football player just came out as identifying as gay, Carl Nassib, for the Raiders. And one of the things he put in his announcement was a quote of a statistic that really shocked me. And he said that if a LGBTQIA person has one person in their life that cares about them as a human, it reduces their likelihood of attempting suicide by 40%. It's quite a shocking statistic for me. It just made me realize, like, who are those people in our lives? I wanted to share a story with you that happened to me a couple years, probably about 10 years ago now. I suffer from anxiety pretty bad. And it's been a struggle that was particularly showed up in my life about 10 years ago. And during this particular bout of anxiety, the catch for me was about financial insecurity. I'm sure I'm the only one that's ever had worries about my financial insecurity. And I remember I have a good friend. His name's Ben. And I was talking to Ben about this, you know. Ben and I met each other on the rugby pitch. So kind of guys, you're not supposed to talk about your feelings, right? And so I kind of took the risk and I was like, hey, Ben, you know, I'm really struggling with this anxiety right now. And I don't know what to do about it. And particularly, like, how am I going to make decisions about life and be okay financially? And I remember at that moment, Ben looked at me and was like, Chris, as long as you're part of my family, you will never have to worry about that. And I realized in that moment, right, like our relationship shifted. I was home with him. That no matter what happened to me, I always had Ben Hilgers to have my back. These relationships, they really matter. This wonder and amazement that is this idea that we get to spend time together and foster friendships and relationships and koinonia, that's the stuff that really matters in life. To know that somebody cares about me, knows all of my anxieties, all of my issues, all my screw-ups, and still loves me. That gift's there for us. Some would say I have a kind of hard job. So I work in a children's hospital as a chaplain or in the spiritual care department. So I see a lot of hard stuff, I'm not gonna lie. And one of the biggest reasons why I can still do this job is because during that time of crisis, when your whole life has fallen apart around you, when you're looking at the thing that you love most in this entire world and they're not doing well, those relationships, they show up. They matter. They blossom. And yeah, I get it that a lot of us have been in families that have failed us, right? They've kind of screwed us over in one way or another. I don't think we need to focus, at least right now, on the ways that they have failed us, but instead we get to focus on the idea of creating more. Of creating these type of relations, significant relationships that matter, that are there for us. That you already have them. And so what about taking the risk? What about reaching out and be like, you know, you matter to me. You know, I thought we were just friends, but we're family. I'm going to be honest with you, it takes some risk, right? What if they don't reciprocate? What if they don't even really even know your name? But I think those relationships, you know it when you have them. So lean in. If you don't have enough of those, create more. Be a part of Fabric. This is a place where I've found a lot of those relationships. And I promise you, if or when life gets hard, I know who to lean on. I know who my family is. And I invite you into that. Maybe you won't find it here, and that's okay. But I promise you, it's worth the risk. Thanks for sitting in the wonder of family with me. The wonder of what this means to be in relationship with one another. Thanks for going through this crazy thing called life with me. You matter. You're loved and lovable. And you can be that family to another person, I promise.
Thanks for listening, but we want you to be even more deeply part of these conversations. Join others Sunday mornings at 10:30 at Minnehaha Falls Park if you're in the Twin Cities, or find discussion resources at fabricmpls.com. That can help you find ways of starting deeper conversations among your family, friends, or Fabric groups. Share insights and questions on social media, too, by searching Fabric MPLS. It may feel like small things, but all of those little threads have some surprising ways of coming together to create life woven deeply.